Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to this edition of Creative Caravan Roadshow. This is Suzanne Lawrence, and I'm here with my co-host, Wendy Dewar Hughes, and we're going to be talking to another romance author today, and her name is Brooke Williams. Now, she has a new book out called Accept This Dandelion, but before we get to talk about that, I just want to say hi, Brooke, and then I want you to tell people a little bit about yourself and what got you started as a sweet romance author. So, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. It's a joy being an author, I tell you that much. I actually have a background in radio. I was in radio for about a decade in Omaha, Nebraska, at a Christian radio station there. I was on the air as well as wrote like the commercials and the stuff that you hear between the songs that people don't always necessarily enjoy. But after I had my first daughter in 2009, I decided I was going to leave my full-time career and stay home with her. But I also wanted something that was my own, because if any of the mothers listening out there, you know that you dedicate yourself to your kids and nothing is yours anymore. It's all about the kids. And I felt like I still needed a little something of my own in my life. And so I started looking for some kind of a job that I could do at home while my daughter was napping. I've always loved to write, so I kind of fell into looking for writing jobs. And I started a freelance writing business. And from there, I enjoyed that so much that I started writing more fiction type of things again. And the romance portion of it didn't come for several years down the line. I went to a writing conference down in Kansas City and met an agent there who suggested that I try romance writing because she said, you know, there's a huge market for romance books. And if you can find a good audience, then you can go on to write kind of whatever you want. But once I wrote my first sweet romance book, a romantic comedy, I don't know that I'm going to go back now. I love it so much.
Oh, that's great. Gosh, you're kind of from my neck of the woods, then. If you're around Omaha, you still live there?
Sure do, just a little bit south of Omaha.
Okay, yeah, I lived in Kansas City for years. So when you mentioned going to Kansas City, I can understand. We had a lot of great conferences there and still do for writers.
So yeah, that's a place I've actually been.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I live on the west coast of Canada, and I've traveled quite a bit, but it's fun to say that I've been to Omaha, so I have a little bit of a picture of where you live.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you've been a lot of places, Wendy, so you've been a lot of places where our authors have been, which is really great. You know, Brooke, your story sounds so familiar because I think there are so many writers who start out as moms and, you know, want something of their own. And writing is such a great thing for that because, like, as we're speaking right now, you've got one child in school at least and you've got another one napping. And you can do that way when you write. So that's really cool that you're able to do that. So let's talk a little bit about this new book, Accept This Dandelion. Tell us a little bit about it, a summary and how it came about.
Well, if you've ever seen the TV show The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, the book is kind of inspired by that. It's about a localized version of that TV dating game show. A local TV station decides that they're going to do kind of the same sort of thing, and they get the city's, you know, most eligible bachelor on board, and they interview a bunch of women, and they put together a little local version of the show. And our main character, Renee Lockhart, she's actually in radio, and she really wants to get on the morning show at the radio station where she works. But her bosses are saying, you know, we're probably not going to put you on the morning show. You don't have a big enough name. The people in the city don't know who you are. So she goes on this localized dating show trying to kind of heighten her public profile so people will know who she is, so hopefully she can get the job on the morning show. Unfortunately for Renee, she's not the most smooth person in the world, so a ton of stuff goes wrong for her. I mean, she lights herself on fire, she falls into a pool, she's got her dress ripping open in the wrong time, and the poor girl, just, you know, think about a dating disaster, and it probably happens to her. And the funny thing about it is, you know, I'm writing this while my daughters are napping or away at school, and I'm just getting way too much pleasure laughing over the things that I'm doing to this poor lady. She probably hates me for what I did to her in this book, but it turned out to be a pretty funny romantic comedy that just gave me a break and gives the readers a break from everyday stresses of life.
Yeah, and I think when you have fun writing it, you know, the reader has fun too. It shows up that you've had fun writing it, so that's really great. And it sounds like in this book you've used your own background to, you know, put the radio kind of stuff in there. You knew something about that, so you were able to use that in the book. So that's cool, too.
Yeah, I sure did. It, you know, I've heard the advice before that you should write what you know, and I never really got that. But once I wrote this book, I really understand it now, because the radio wasn't a huge part of the book, but there were some scenes in the radio station, and, you know, all of that is true, and it was easy for me to write because I've been there and I've seen it all and done it myself. So that was really simple.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I love the idea of accept this dandelion, because on The Bachelor, they're giving him a rose, and in this case, they're giving him a dandelion.
Yep, they're getting dandelions. It's a local show. It's more low-key. They aren't flying off to Paris or anything. They go to, you know, local restaurants, the pool. They go to the zoo, places like that. That's a lot more low-key than places you'd see on an actual Bachelor show.
Yeah, yeah. Now, when did this book come out?
It's actually coming out on February 4th, so just a couple days away, and it's up for pre-sale now, so you can go ahead and grab it now. It'll just be automatically delivered to you once it comes out, but a few more days away. I'm pretty excited.
Wow. Okay, so are you going to be doing anything for a launch on Facebook or any place online?
Actually, yes. I'm having an online Facebook party on the 4th, starting at 11 a.m. Central Time, and it goes pretty much all day until 10. I've got a different author every hour that's going to be coming on and talking about their books and stuff, and I have a couple of hours of my own that I'll be there live, and it'll be a lot of fun. I love these types of parties. It's my kind of party.
Good. Yeah. Wow. Wendy and I need to talk to you after the show about these Facebook parties and stuff, don't we, Wendy, because we need to do some of that for our own books.
Yes, I know. We've been talking about doing something the same, and it'll be fun to talk to you about that.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit curious about your book's title, Accept This Dandelion. Can you just go into a little bit more how that title came about?
Well, if you've ever seen the Bachelor TV show, at the very end of the show, the man or woman in charge goes through the list of people that he wants to keep, and he asks them to come up and say, will you accept this rose? And so, I didn't want to do the same as their show, and since it's a romantic comedy, I thought, well, flower would be funny, and accept this dandelion just kind of made more sense to me. Plus, I kind of had a theme in the book of accepting yourself for who you are, and the idea that, you know, we're all human, and we're all just really kind of weeds trying to make ourselves better into a prettier flower.
Yeah, I really like that.
I like it, too. That's fun.
Yeah. So tell us, then, what was the most difficult part of writing this book, and how long did it take you to write it?
I think the most difficult part of writing anything, really, for me, is being interrupted. I like to just sit and write. I probably would sit and write a whole book in a week if I could, but having two young children, you know, I usually have an hour to an hour and a half per day, and they're napping, and they don't have a clock set on, you know, how long they're going to nap, so I don't know exactly when I'm going to be interrupted, and so it's always hard for me to, you know, sometimes I would stop in the middle of a sentence, and I'd come back the next day and be like, what was I saying, and where was I going with that, and so I think the hardest part for me was just having to pick it up and drop it and, you know, and kind of come and go with it as I could, but it took me only about a month to write it, because every time, every second that I got a chance, I sat down and wrote, because I was so excited about it, and I wanted to see what would happen to myself, and I'd get these crazy ideas of what I was going to have happen to the character next, and I wanted to see where it went, and so it really only took about a month.
Wow, so did you write every day?
Every day, yep, pretty much every day, at least weekdays and on weekends when I was able to, but every day during that time, I pretty much write no matter what.
Yeah, wow. So tell us a little bit about your writing process, because I know authors, you know, all work a little bit differently. Some like to outline a lot. Some like to just sit down and let the story flow as, you know, things come to them. What's your writing process like, particularly when you were able to get this whole book finished within a month?
Yeah. Well, I don't do any outlining or write anything down ever. I do a lot of thinking when my daughters are awake and we're running around and playing and stuff. I'll just see something outside, or I'll think, oh, this might be kind of cool. And once I have an idea, like Accept This Dandelion, I had just kind of a basic idea for what the book would be like, and I had the title. And then once I get the very first scene kind of solidified in my mind, I sit down and I write, and that's where it goes from there. And, you know, once I have the first scene, I couldn't necessarily tell you what was going to happen next or how it was going to end. From the first scene on, I just kind of go with what happens from there on out. And like I said, I get interrupted a lot, so I have a chance to think about what kind of thing do I want to have happen next. But I never actually outline it or anything. It's just better for me to sit and write it. And I tell people that, you know, what happens when I'm writing today might be totally different than what I would have happen if I wrote it tomorrow. So I'm always hoping that I'm writing it on the best day possible, because it could be different from day to day just depending on my mood or what I feel like. I think it's a lot of fun writing that way, because you don't necessarily know what's going to happen yourself. So I'm kind of approaching it from a reader's aspect, and that I don't know what's going to happen either.
Yeah. Well, what do you do in terms of word count and stuff when you're writing? Are you keeping that in the back of your mind about how long you want the book to be even?
Yeah, kind of. I like to have kind of chapters that are sort of even with each other. So I shoot for about 2,000 to 3,000 words per chapter. And I can usually write that in under an hour, 45 minutes to an hour or so. So I try, when I'm doing a book, I try and do one of those a day during nap time, and then the rest of that time I might have, I'll spend doing work for clients and stuff, and people that actually pay me to do some writing jobs. And then the word count, it, you know, depends on if I have a publisher in mind. This time I had a certain publisher in mind, so I shot for anywhere between 50 and 70,000 words for that. And usually, you know, a longer book is 70 to 100,000, and this one was kind of more of a novella type of a range, so I was shooting around 50 to 70, but it's kind of hard to do when you don't know what's going to happen. I just had to follow the story, and when it was ready to end, it ended.
Yeah, wow. What about, what was I going to say? There's something I was going to ask you now. I totally forgot about the writing process and the, just lost my, totally slipped out of my mind. It was something else about the writing process and sitting down and knowing, you know, what you're going to do. So you had a publisher in mind for this one, so you just go and sort of look at the guidelines and see what they want, or why did you have that particular publisher in mind?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's really, you know, I tell aspiring authors that finding a publisher is kind of, to me, like a needle in a haystack scenario. You can look and look all day, but if you stop looking for the right publisher, you're never going to find them. So you just have to keep digging until you find the right one. And I published a book back in December with a publisher, and this time I really wanted to look into working with Prism Book Group. And so I wrote kind of based on their guidelines, hoping if I write it kind of based on their guidelines, they'll be more likely to accept it. And they did, and I was so excited. And if they hadn't, I would have just kept looking for a publisher that hopefully would accept it. But it's pretty hard to find the right publisher.
Wow. So when did you actually submit it to them? How long was the submission process with them?
It wasn't real long. I'm trying to remember. I remember I got the email from them offering me a contract when I was in the tax office getting my taxes done. So it was a huge bright spot in the day compared to that. So that would have been last March or so. So it wasn't real long. I feel like I heard back from them within a month, maybe even a few weeks. So I was pretty excited that they were excited about it. And there's a big smile on my face in the tax office. It doesn't usually happen.
I know. Yeah, that's really great news, especially for the tax office. I know what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about rewrites. You get the book done in a month, and then do you have any rewrites you have to do, or did the publisher ask for any rewrites?
Oh, absolutely. The problem with, for me, writing a book is that I can never read it the way a reader would read it. I read it kind of how I meant to write it, and so it's really hard for me to edit stuff myself. Once I write something, I usually let it sit for a month or so, and then I'll go back and read it because then I've forgotten a little bit at least. And I try and do as much as I can, but I leave more of the editing up to the publishing company because, I said, I'm not an editor. I'm a writer. I don't think that way. I think more in the creative realm. So my editor that was assigned to this book sent it back to me, and she likes to say that when she edits, it looks like a bag of Skittles has been dropped on the manuscript, which is exactly what it looks like. It was very pretty. But then I had to go back through and kind of change things based on her suggestions, and we just kind of email back and forth and have gone back and forth several times on it, and it's been polished and from every different angle, and then another person reads it, and we have a final proofreading, and there's lots that goes into that, and really it's, to me, not the most enjoyable part at all. I don't like editing. But I know it needs to be done because, you know, that's just part of the process, and it turns out so much better in the end because of it. It's not my favorite part of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great to know. Wendy, have you got some questions for Brooke?
I have got some questions. I see by your Amazon author page that you have several books out, and I'm just wondering about, since you have been writing and publishing for a few years. What has your publishing journey been like, more towards the publishing than the writing? Can you tell us kind of how you got your feet wet and if your books are in ebook and print, or what that looks like for you now?
Well, the very first book I wrote was actually just a couple of years after I graduated from college. I was in radio at the time, full-time. And, when I was in college, I was writing papers all the time. And once I went into radio, I was only writing scripts. And that wasn't enough for me. And so I wrote a book. It was called Someone Always Loves You. And I kind of experimented with that book. At the time, there was no such thing as, like, emailing agents and looking for publishers that way. So I did a lot of writing letters and mailing letters with self-addressed stamped envelopes to agents, and I got a lot of no's back. And the worst no I think I got was I got a self-addressed stamped envelope returned to me with nothing inside. The person had just written no on the back. I'm like, oh, I couldn't even get a form letter?
You have to be thick-skinned, don't you?
Yeah, well, you have to, yeah. And I think I got no so much from that book that I just kind of gave up. And honestly, I didn't write anything for 9 years, except for scripts for my radio job. But then once my daughter was born and I got my feet wet into the freelance writing world, I just realized how much I loved it. And I think more than anything, I write for me, and I think that's really important. It's the one thing that's mine, and I feel like I get so much enjoyment out of it that being published now, it makes me feel like, wow, now someone else could enjoy it too. You know, it's really been a neat journey. But once I wrote my first romantic comedy, Wrong Place, Right Time, I felt like I was ready to go back and start looking for a publisher again. I hadn't had any luck at all with the agent thing several years ago, so I thought I'd look for publishers that allow authors to submit directly to them instead of going through an agent, which I'd heard agent is the only way to get a publisher, but apparently that's not true anymore, so that's great. So I started going through publishers, and I ended up with the Writer's Coffee Shop for Wrong Place, Right Time, and it just came out in December.
Just this past December?
Yes, just this past December.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Yes, it seems like technology has changed the world of publishing so dramatically that a lot of authors who would have spent years looking for publishers now aren't doing that because you can publish yourself, and there's lots of other options out there. But what? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think there's a lot more publishers out there, too. For my first book, the Someone Always Loved You book, I did self-publish that one kind of more just for family and friends and so I could show it to my daughters someday. And it actually, I have it in paperback form, but I put it on as a Kindle book, too. And I don't know what happened exactly, but it seemed to kind of take off. And still, I didn't even realize it until I started getting royalty payments from Amazon. I was like, oh, my gosh, people are reading this book. This is exciting. And so, yeah, all of the books that I have out are available on Kindle or in other ebook formats and as well as in paperback.
Okay, great. That's great. So what do you enjoy most about being a published author now that you're actually have books selling and they're out there? What's the feedback you get on that?
I think what I enjoy most is that I am able to do something that I absolutely love that I never dreamed would be a possible career path for me, and that I get to share it now with other people. Because you can write for yourself and enjoy it, and which is the most important part to me, but now I'm able to share it with other people. And the stuff that's in these romantic comedy books, it's funny, and I get a kick out of it. And now I can talk with other people, and we can giggle over it together. And I think just the camaraderie that I get from speaking with other people who have read the books and have enjoyed them as well has been really important to me.
Sure, yeah, you're right. That is so fun. I'm curious, too, since you're in a really specific niche, do you have a website or a blog for your books? Do you blog regularly? Do you interact with your readers that way? And how can people find you?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's authorbrookwilliams.com. And on that website, there's a main page that's got some information about upcoming books that I have, and I also have a page that's got links to all the current books that are out there. I have a blog on there as well, and I even have a page that is just for freelance writers. If you're looking to get into the freelance writing business, people often ask me, where do you find your jobs? And so I have a page on my website that shows all of the companies that I've worked for and just gives my advice about that. And my blog, I try and update at least once a week, if not more. When you go to the blog, there's a spot where you can put your email address in, and then it'll email you automatically when it's got an update on there. I do a lot of cover reveals and things like that for other authors, but I try and put something of my own up there about once a week, usually on Wednesdays. And, of course, there will always be updates about the books that are coming up or whatever editing process I'm in. I also do quite a bit on Facebook, so if you are wanting to keep track of some of my work, you could go to Facebook and search for author Brooke Williams, and I'll come up and you can like my page. And I'm on there several times a day, usually updating either what my crazy daughters are doing or what I'm at the writing process. And I found that most of my interaction comes through there, and people will comment on things there and pictures that I put up, and it's been kind of a lot of fun to meet new faces that way.
I totally agree.
I might mention too that you've got an author page at Amazon, your Author Central. I really love those pages on Author Central there, because I'm looking at your page, Brooke, right now, and it's got your picture, and then it's got your book covers, and then, you know, so easy for people to buy the books right there, because they can just down the list and see what you got. They can leave comments for you there. So if they just go to Amazon.com and type your name in, then they'll get access to your Author Central page, too. So that's kind of cool.
I had to contact Amazon because there was a book on there that I didn't write by a different Brooke Williams, and I was like, oh, no, I'm sure it's wonderful, but that's not me. So I took that one down.
Tell us what you're working on now. What's your next project?
Well, I have another romantic comedy coming out in August called Mamarazzi, and it is about a female paparazzo who lives out in Los Angeles, takes pictures of the stars. She stumbles onto a TV set and then gets thrown onto the show as an extra. Her extra role kind of steamrolls into a more permanent role, and then the paparazzi start taking pictures of her. So she kind of gets to see both sides of the fence in that way. And that book is coming out in August, but it's in the editing phases now. So whenever my daughters are sleeping now, I'm working on the editing for that, which is really no fun. But it has to be done.
And where do you get your ideas?
That one. Well, who's your publisher for that one?
That one's coming out from Prism Book Group as well.
Okay, thanks. Sorry. Okay.
And where do you get your ideas?
Depends on the idea, I guess. That one I've kind of always had in the back of my mind. I actually wrote a small portion of a screenplay back in college with that basic theme. I think it was a male paparazzi instead of a mamarazzi in this case. So I've kind of always wanted to write that one, but I didn't know in what form. And once I got rolling on it, romantic comedy just fit it perfectly because, you know, everything about it is kind of funny.
Yeah, I was going to ask where you got your ideas, too. I really like the idea of looking at TV shows and things like you did with The Bachelor and sort of, you know, doing a little unique spin on that. I love the idea of instead of the rose, they get a dandelion. Instead of all these exotic places where, you know, they send the couple, they go to local places and stuff. That just sounds funny and like a lot of fun to read. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to start thinking about that, too, for my own story.
Yeah.
Look at some TV shows and see how you can put a different spin on them.
When I watch The Bachelor, I often think, what would it be like if someone more like me was on that show? And that's kind of where the book came from because, you know, I don't do the whole hair and makeup thing and neither does my character, and I'm kind of a klutz and so is she. And so, you know, this kind of was my imagining. If I were ever to go on a show like that, that's just probably how it would turn out, which isn't very good, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
That's great.
Did you have another question, Wendy?
Yeah, what's your best tip for romance authors who are trying to, you know, get their books written and find publishers or publish themselves? What, from your experience and what you've all done, tell us what your best tip would be to move forward.
Well, I think my biggest tip would be to write what you love. If you don't love it, then you're not going to be able to sell it to a publisher, and then it's not going to, you know, they're not going to take it, they're not going to be able to sell it themselves. So you need to find the little niche in the genre within romance that you really, really, really enjoy. Like, is it going to be clean romance? Is it going to be romantic comedy? Is it going to be more heartfelt? Decide what you really love, and then you'll be able to pull that out of yourself. If you love it, then you'll be able to show it to the publishers or self-publish it and then sell it yourself, you know, with more passion. So I think that's probably where you need to start. But once you have something you really like I said before, with the publishers, what you need to do is keep looking and just look and don't give up, because it is there's tons of them out there. It's a needle in a haystack, and the chances of finding it might be slim, but if you stop looking, you're never going to find it. So you just have to keep looking and keep looking. And you know, not everybody's going to love what you do. And that's okay. You don't love every book on the market either, right? So you need to find the one publisher out there that does love what you do. And it's a hard journey, but if you do it, it's going to be worth it, and you're really going to be glad that you kept looking.
Mm-hmm. Those are great tips.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's just so nice when you can write what you like to write. Are you still freelancing too, writing for companies and other things besides your novel?
Yeah, I sure do. I have a big client in England that sends me a lot of product descriptions, which is not really the most exciting mm-hmm. thing to write, but they pay me for it, so I don't care. And I write a lot for goodbyecrutches.com. They're a company up in Michigan that instead of being on crutches, you get this wheeled, like a device on wheels that you can kind of scoot yourself around. And I write a lot of blogs mm-hmm. for them, and there's several others, so depends on what I get sent in a week. I like the fiction stuff the best, but if a paying client sends me something, you know, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. So for anyone listening to this show who thinks you don't have time to write, just, you know, listen mm-hmm. to Brooke. I'm putting all these novels out there. She's doing freelance writing, and she's got two kids. So, there's, you know, it's just what you want to do. And I think part of it, though, the key is writing what's fun to write, because if you can know that every afternoon when your child's asleep, you get to have fun writing something, mm-hmm. then that's a lot different than if all you do were product descriptions and things that maybe weren't that fun to do. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
that's about an hour a day. Hour a day to myself is all I get. And see, that the laundry and the house cleaning and all that stuff gets neglected, but what do you do?
Yeah. But that just shows, too, that, you know, you don't have to have hours and hours to write. You just have to make the best use of the time you do have. So that's really great, too, because a lot of people, if they don't have 5 or 6 hours to write, they just think they can't do anything. And so, you know, this is good news for them, too. You can just take whatever time you've got. And I don't know, I think, too, when you start doing stuff that you like to write, time just sort of magically opens up in some ways, too, and you get more things that, you know, more time to write. So that's great. Well, listen, Brooke, it's been really fun having you with us here today. I know we want to take just a couple of minutes here to let readers know, and you might be interested in this too, we have a big writing contest coming up for romance writers. So before we go off air today, I want Wendy to maybe just tell us a little bit about it, and also our little quiz. We are doing something that's kind of fun you might want to do with us too, Brooke, on our SummersBeeIsland.com little site. So, Wendy, could you take a few minutes and just tell us about both of those things, the contest coming up and the little quiz?
Sure, I'd love to. If you go to www.creativecaravanclub.com, there's all the details about the contest, and what we're looking for is we're planning to do another anthology for Sweet Romance, which is called Sweet Summer Love. And we're looking for authors who would like to be part of the anthology. The cost to be involved is only $35, which is, you know, amazing. You don't have to look any farther to be published. But you have to follow the guidelines, as Brooke mentioned. It's really important to follow the guidelines, but they're all there on the website, everything you need to know. And if you have any questions, you can just, you know, pop us an email through the contact page there. Also, be sure to sign up for our newsletter, which comes out every week and announces who we're having on the radio show, plus all the developments in Creative Caravan Club, because we're developing new things all the time. And with regard to our little quiz, SummersBeeIsland.com. Suzanne and I are working on a fabulous new series, which takes place on a subtropical island, and we're looking for a little bit of history. So what we're doing is just a fun little contest that takes about a minute to fill in the blanks on the story of what happened to Captain Summersbee, who the island is named after. So all we need you to do is go to SummersBeeIsland.com and look at Shipwrecked, and you can fill in the blanks on the story, and you could be a character in one of our upcoming books in the series. So we're just doing this for fun and just to kind of promote the series, and so we invite everybody, anybody can just go over there and fill in that little story, and just whatever you think happened to Captain Summersbee, and we'll have a look at it, and you might be a winner.
Great. Okay, well, listen, I'm so glad you could be with us today, Brooke. I want to remind people your book that's coming out, next week, is called Accept This Dandelion. Sounds like a really fun read. And you can find out more about Brooke at Author Brooke Williams. She spells Brooke with an E, B-R-O-O-K-E, authorbrookewilliams.com. And also look for her books on Amazon.com. So thanks again, Brooke, and thanks, Wendy. And everybody have a great weekend, and we will be back next Friday. Take care.
Bye for now.